News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Harry Brown is with us, media lecturer at TU Dublin and host of the Last Ditch podcast, to bring us up to speed on some of the stories we may not yet have discussed and to give analysis on some of those that we have. Starting with sort of good news, bad news. Good news, Trump is calling off immediate attacks on Iran. Bad news, he's saying he's braced to go at a moment's notice.
Right, yeah, this is another hold me back moment from Donald Trump in relation to Iran. He's called off strikes that were scheduled that nobody knows were scheduled for today. It's another story about, like, actually the negotiations are progressing. Meanwhile, there's a great quote in the story that Reuters have this morning from a Pakistani source that basically their head is wrecked. They're trying to do these negotiations that
I didn't realize that was in the vernacular in Pakistan.
Yeah, that's the Pakistan. The sides keep changing the goalposts, the Pakistani source said. But listen, what seems to have happened here is that, in this case, the Gulf states have come to Trump and said, just don't. All right, because this is going to be more trouble for us than it's worth. And I think, as we've seen over the weeks, Trump is ready to hear those messages. I think he has declared the war over, as we know, on a number of occasions.
There is the small matter of gas prices, though, in the Straits of Hormuz, which keeps reminding us of it.
And I think that the question of energy, and particularly in Asia, is what is concentrating minds for a lot of the international community. And even in his statement, he's saying, we think we're going to have a settlement that is going to be good for the Middle East and beyond. And I think to a certain extent, he's trying to do the thing that is going to keep the world on side. But it is, are we talking about the Straits of Hormuz? Are we talking about a nuclear deal? Are we talking about Iranian international assets? Because the Iranians are claiming that the Americans have agreed to unfreeze a number of
assets. But he must be coming under a lot of domestic pressure, Harry, because you, more than a lot of people would know, nothing gets to the American populace like the price at the pump.
Yeah, that's right. And so if it's going to be $5 a gallon gas at the time of the midterms, then the Republicans are going to get wiped out in the congressional elections. It's quite straightforward. But we've still got a few months to go on that. So I'm afraid to say, and it is a horrible thing to say in the context of potentially thousands more people being killed here, that this has a look of something that could run for a little while longer yet.
And meanwhile, in politics a little closer, at least on this side of the Atlantic, interesting developments in respect of the disinterring of Brexit, because Dara O'Brien was quoted in the papers today saying that British people are finally admitting that leaving the EU may not have been a brilliant idea, and it's becoming a topic of much discussion around the Labour leadership contest.
That's right. I think it's quite interesting here, Dara O'Brien doing a kind of thing where the Irish are the sensible friend who is trying to hold the British hands through the crisis of their relationship with Europe. But honestly, it seems to me that Starmer's kind of, actually, we're going to turn back to Europe move in the last week or so has been an act of desperation more than anything else. And the idea that the British people, that their chief priority at the moment is, can't you sort out our relationship with Europe so we can get through passport control? Again, Dara talks about going through passport control ahead of his children, who apparently only have British passports. But I do think that this is kind of more a sign of Starmer's desperation than anything else. But like the optimistic friend.
Am I alone in this, Harry? It also has the feel that the EU is kind of like, is it Mish Havisham in, the wedding dress, desperately waiting for the return of Britain? Who says the EU is that eager to have them back?
Exactly. I think that there was a certain air of good riddance across European institutions and countries over the last 10 years. And I don't think it would be necessarily a straightforward matter readmitting. But I think Starmer isn't talking about a full reintegration into the EU in any case. He's just rather vaguely talking about, we're going to see if we can improve our relationship there, in the hope, I think, that some of the more kind of liberal votes that have strayed off to the Greens might wander back to him. But I think that's a pretty forlorn hope, honestly.
Following a pattern of reality shows turning out to be rotten to their core, the latest one in the list is Married at First Sight UK, which has been removed from all streaming platforms following allegations of misconduct going so far as rape.
it's incredible. I mean, I have daughters, you know, grown up daughters who watch these shows and tell me about them, and my jaw drops all the time. I have to say, I do get hooked on Love Island occasionally with them, but I don't know Married at First Sight particularly. But the premise, I think, is familiar to most people, and it's in the name. There's a Panorama documentary tonight that apparently is going to expose what is called the dark side of Married at First Sight, and it really is appalling. So Channel 4 have pulled episodes of Married at First Sight off their streaming platforms, and there's investigations about whether, you know, what they call kind of participant welfare or contestant welfare has been looked after properly on these shows. But you don't have to look very far past the premises of these shows to understand that the possibility of abuse of this sort is going to be rife in them.
But how many times do we have to learn these lessons? I mean, you go back to Ricky Lake, you go to Jeremy Kyle, back when it was that kind of reality TV, what emerged was the exploitation of people for the entertainment of the masses. We just keep doing it again.
That's right.
And in
those cases, it was bad for people to be talking about their past traumas. In this case, the shows actually bring the trauma about. And it really is, you know, something that I do think needs to be addressed. But we do also know that these shows do still get quite high ratings. And I guess that's the name of the game.
Let's go somewhere lighter to finish up. A question as to whether or not you should be allowed to take your dog everywhere after somebody brought one to Gordon Ramsay's restaurant.
Yeah, so this story has been running for a few days, this kind of viral claim that a dachshund was brought into Gordon Ramsay's restaurant in London, and a little pee pad was set under the table in case it needed to go while it was there. So it's kind of, and apparently the dog was perfectly well behaved, but it has set off this discussion about the kind of increasing frequency of dogs being seen in kind
How
of public
places.
How long
was dinner that they had to bring a pee pad? Surely a dog can make it through dinner without having to pee on the floor.
The poor wee pup. I have a dog that's getting a little bit old now myself, Anton, and I do sort of sympathize. What I really like in this story, and there's a kind of, you know, it's kind of columnists are spinning out this story for a couple of days now, is this term dinkwads, which refers to double income, no kids with a dog. You know, so this is a kind of the latest kind of yuppie incarnation.
Dinkwad,
double income, no kids with a dog. And actually the kind of the vibe of the story is, well, what we're seeing now in kind of the urban West is the replacement of children with dogs. And that as a consequence, the same annoying people who wanted to bring their kids everywhere in the old days now want to bring their dogs everywhere.
Bringing them in a pram with a pee pad, though, is that not the line where you draw a...
Well, you know, we all draw our lines differently, Anton. It's kind of cute.
Harry, thank you very much. Harry Brown, TU Media lecturer and host of the Ditch podcast there.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.